امام جلال الدین سیوطی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, he narrated a hadith, he communicated a hadith, and the narrator of this hadith is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith, the subject matter of this hadith is on such a point that every human being has a link, has a concern with this hadith, because there's a certain time that passes through everyone's life. On every human being, it is lazim, it is compulsory that that moment will pass by a person, because a person migrates at that time. If we do a normal migration in the world, migration means going from one place to another, transferring one from one place to another. Small migrations every day, for example, we have just done hijrah before we came to this gathering from our home to the masjid to go from place A to B. This is a migration, and the bigger migration could be to leave one city, to depart from one city and to go to another city, or to depart from one country to travel to another country. That's a migration as well. Different scales of migration. Or to leave one continent and travel to another continent, that's a bigger migration. But there's such a migration which will be the biggest migration, the biggest transfer of life of a person, and that is dying, the death of a person. Now, there are certain words that are used. Sometimes we say intiqal, somebody passes away, transfers away, and we call this maut, death. To die. And this is such a migration that every human being will pass by this migration. A person who believes, who doesn't believe, whatever religion you are linked to, whether you're small or big or young or old, you're healthy, unhealthy, woman, man, child. This is the law of Allah that whoever's arrived in this world will have to depart from this world. This is a reality. And this is the concept. Everybody agrees to with this in the world. This is not a permanent abode. This world, me, you, every one of us will have to leave this world, and we will have to implement the migration. Okay, if you don't want to migrate on planet Earth, there are thousands of people who live in a city. They don't go to another city. There are certain people who live in a house. They stay in that house. That's in our control and choice. But this is not in our control. Staying in this world forever. This is Allah's control, and whenever Allah Ta'ala wants us to, He'll transfer us out of the world, the earth, and make us do the hijrah, the migration. And may Allah Ta'ala make our yaqeen, our certainty on death, the facts of death, strong. And with regards to this phase, the transfer out of the world, the migration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, because everything is behind the veil, everything is unknown, it's the unseen, we don't know what occurs at the time of death, the feeling, the emotion, what events will take place, and how and what will occur, except for what we have heard from the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he taught and delivered to the Ummah, what he transferred to the Sahaba Kram, who they in turn recorded these words in the Kitabs, and until Qiyamah they taught us, educated us, and delivered the knowledge to us. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So these were the Sahaba Kram, the noble companions, the Sahaba Rasul, who transferred the knowledge, who conveyed the knowledge that they learned from the Prophet to the common man, to us, so that we can benefit in our lives. Now, there's a subject from the vast oceans of knowledge that the Sahaba taught us, is that what is the transfer of life from this world to the next? What is death? What is maut? Yes, what is the migration at the time of death? So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said in this hadith that I heard from the Holy Prophet say that when a mu'min passes away, every word of the hadith we should pay attention to. This is not speech about a common man, a normal man. This is about the mu'min, subhanallah. So we need to see that we also have to depart. So what are we? Who is being spoken about? The mu'min men, the mu'minat women. Yes, may Allah Ta'ala make us all mu'min and true believers who are rightfully due that status. So when a mu'min, he passes away and he transfers from this world to the hereafter. And this transfer, this hijrah, nobody prefers it. Nobody likes it, do they? Person like me who's sinful, who's sitting in the world, and we are entrenched in this world all day, night. We run after the dunya. We're immersed in the dunya. We will never like to depart from this world. It's just like we have a house. We're sitting in the house and someone says, get out from this house. We say, no, I'm not leaving this house. Why should I go? This is my home. I'm fine. I'm healthy. Why should I leave? So we also have entrenched ourselves ourselves and we've dug our trenches and we say, no, we're staying here, we're not leaving. And no, I can't die. How can I die? But it's not in our control. We have to depart. Even that person has to depart who doesn't want to die. And they have khawf. They don't want to pass away. But alhamdulillah, the mu'min, he also has khawf. What is the fear of the mu'min? That if only we could see those mu'min, what fear they had. What was it based on? Say subhanallah. What was the grounding? What was the basis of their fear? Hazrat Nur al-Marqada, I used to see him, may Allah have mercy on him, that his glasses also would have, always would have the tears, the moisture of the tears on them. This is my sheikh. There was a special khadim of Hazrat Sahib who would see Hazrat Sahib and he would come straight and mashallah, whatever situation, whatever was the gathering, wherever was Hazrat Sahib and subhanallah, his khidmat, he had no formality, would come straight in front of the lap of Hazrat Sahib, and even if Hazrat Sahib was speaking with his two hands, he would take Hazrat Sahib's glasses off, subhanallah. So much enjoyment we used to see when we used to see that he'd take Hazrat Sahib's glasses off, and he would take them away, wash them, dry them and come back. Whatever the big gathering is, whatever was the discussion, he would come close to Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Sahib would say nothing to him, he would come close back to Hazrat Sahib, and then with ease and love and simplicity, he would put the glasses back onto Hazrat Sahib, and then he would leave, and he passed away. May Allah Ta'ala raise his status, his darajat, subhanallah. So, an ashik asked one day, the Hazrat Sahib, that why do you cry so much? So much moisture on your glasses of tears. And I'm speaking about this sheikh, the great sheikh, my sheikh, who, subhanallah, he was immersed in the love of Allah. And I testify to this in this masjid before dhikr, that his tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah. He used to do so much dhikr of Allah, my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib Nur al-Marqada. And look at Hazrat's order with regards to the hijrat of from here to the hereafter. And Hazrat drew a deep sigh, a cool deep sigh, and then two tears fell again onto the glasses of Hazrat Sahib. Then Hazrat sighed and said, have you asked, subhanallah, are you the only one to ask? There's nobody else around, or is there? So that it doesn't become showing off, say subhanallah. Look at the caution of Hazrat Sahib in his own language and dialect. He said, are you on your own? And he said, yes, Hazrat, I'm on my own. There's nobody else here. I'm just myself. I asked you myself. And there's nobody near to me. And then Hazrat said, Babu, what the point here is that, Babu, in Saraiki we say, my friend, my guest, my comrade, that he said that what you've asked me, Hazrat Sahib said, what you've asked me, what can I say to you? What can I say to you, subhanallah, that I'm not pious like you, say subhanallah. Look at the simplicity and the sincerity of Hazrat Sahib. I am not pious like you, that I don't have fear. I am a sinful person. And always, every moment I am worried about that hijrah, that I will pass away, I'll die, that how will I migrate to the hereafter? What will be my condition? Subhanallah. So when this condition, when this feeling, I think about it, emotion, then day and night I worry that Hazrat, you are the one to forgive. I'm totally useless and bone idle, and I'm living in this world. I'm the worst of the human beings in this world. Allah, what will happen to me in the hereafter? So anyway, the mu'mineen, the believers, they have khawf, but their khawf has changed. What khawf do we have? Oh, I'll have to leave my bed. I'll have to leave my shop. I'll have to leave the world. Oh, my wife is beautiful. I'll have to leave her. Oh, my child is so beloved to me. Oh, she's so beloved to me. Oh, my daughter, how will I leave my shop, my business? When maut, anyone fear, when maut is coming close, we run. Is there a surgeon or doctor who could save me? And I'm speaking about wealthy people who have loved the world, but the true walis of Allah who have a fear, they have the fear that yes, we have to pass away. But tell Allah, what will I do? Will I be forgiven? We've read in the hadith that the time of death is severe and dangerous. That time of death, Hazrat said this once to me, Faruqi Sahib, I'm in this fikr and worry about the time to come. Every moment from death onwards is so severe and dangerous that we cannot imagine how will that time be. We can imagine. May Allah Ta'ala instill that fear into our hearts. So think that time to come, the time of death, when maut will come, when a person passes away, at that time the hisab will start severely. That first moment of death, the phase of death, may Allah forgive, in the hadith it stated that time is very severe and difficult. The time of death, a person, what does he go through? It's like the all of the water of the oceans is put into his mouth, even then the thirst is not quenched. So much the person's lips and tongue is so dry at the time of death, that even if the vast oceans of the world, the water is put into the mouth, even then the thirst is not quenched. This is a severely dangerous and challenging time of a person's life that he's transferring from this world, the life of this world to the next. It's a big challenge and test. So after the death, takes place. Then comes the time when a person's reawoken. Before that, when his ruh is pulled out of the body, in the hadith it is stated, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companion, stated that imagine you have a thorn, like a branch with thorns and nettles all around. And if that's put into your body, and if it's dragged and pulled through the veins of the body, then imagine how it will pull through the flesh of the body, and imagine the pain at the time. But the time of death, the pain of death is more severe than even that. My brothers, this time is coming to us. We don't know this in the world. We are ignorant. But who's telling us this? Imam ul Anbiya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bashir ul Nadir, who came with the good tidings, with the news in advance of what is going to occur, death and after death. Subhanallah, we have to be safe from this severity. This is the hadith. So it stated the mu'min, though, the believer, his death, subhanallah, and he was shaking, he was afraid, the time for hijrat comes. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? That how the sketch changes now at the time of death of a mu'min, a believer who's a good person. And remember, at the time of death in hadith, it is stated that at the time of death, it's like when a person dies, the pain at the time of death. Imagine many, many swords at one time inflicting the wounds on the body of a person. The pain, imagine that multiple pain. More than that is the pain at the time of death. Subhanallah. So it is stated, all occur at the time of death. What will happen with a mu'min, a good person, a believer? It's stated when the angels will come, the malaika, the malik al-maut will come with his cabinet, with his members, with his colleagues, with his workers. Now the man is watching. It's death time. It's time to die. First he'll see the angels and he'll fall unconscious. And however the man was in the world, that is how the angels will come and present themselves to him. If they come to take out the ruh, the spirit of a person who consumed interest, then they'll come in that way. If he was an alcoholic, then the angels will come in that way. Person who watched TV, singing music, then the angels will come in that way. The person who is immodest, the angels will come that way. The people who used to leave salah, then horrible angels will come. And the immodest women, then the horrible angels will come to him. And the immodest men, then the horrible angels will come to him. Yani, and the person who is a backbiter, gossip monger, slanderer, liar, different conditions. Allah says, "Wamtazul ayyul mujrimin." Allah Ta'ala says that, "Be alert, O mu'mineen, what will happen to you at the time of death?" That is just the start of the journey. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So the cabinet comes, but with the mu'min, what's the treatment for a believer? Malaika will descend, Malakul Maud will come, and he was afraid of death, but he'll see suddenly that in the whole room, the fragrance and nice smell spreads. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Nice smell will spread in the room where he's about to die. He'll say, "What is this smell that's come?" And now he's disappeared from this world, and the people of the world don't know what's happening to him. We don't know. And father's gone, baba's gone, cha-cha's going, uncle's going, Allah, where's he gone? He's disappeared, but he doesn't know that the person's transferring to the next world. All life long we were afraid of death, and our glasses, his glasses were moist with his tears due to the fear of death. But the angels will come and salute that person who was pious, and they will come with a nice fragrance, they will come in a nice appearance. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi, this is the hadith that I'm sharing with you, and he stated, this is drawing the sketch here, the angels will come to the good person at the time of his death, man or woman, they'll say, "We've come to extract your ruh." Subhanallah, the angels will say, Malik al-Maut will say, "We've come to extract your ruh." Spirit, you'll be afraid. "Ooh, I'm going to pass away." So how will they extract his ruh, his spirit, his life? Allah Ta'ala has told the malaika that this man, his taste is what? What does he like? What does he prefer? And what was he most consumed in? What was he busy in? So you have to do something, oh angel of death, that whatever he likes, his favorite pastime, hobby, then put those things in front of him, show him those things, say Subhanallah, those things that took him his attention. So my husband, what did he like most? What was he busy in? Subhanallah. What other action was there except one? What did he like? What did he prefer and love? What did he love to do? Every moment of his life, he liked to be in front of the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed Rawda of Rasulullah, and reciting Salatu wa Salam, a Durood. And here Hazrat was reciting Salam, and from the other side was coming the answer. Subhanallah, and he was embracing the holy fence, the Jali. This was his desire and passion. He was in Riyadul Jannah, and the head was bowed from morning until evening, immersed and consumed in dhikr of Allah, maraqib, dhikr of the heart, or either going around the tawaf, around the Kaaba, going to the multazim, embracing the multazim, the Kaaba, and crying to Allah, speaking to Allah, going around the Kaaba, then coming in front of Hajrul Aswad and kissing the Hajrul Aswad, then continue, and then going in front of Maqam Ibrahim, and then to pray salah and sujood on the ground with the forehead, and then passing through the well of Zamzam, look at the Kaaba, and at that time drinking that get immersed with the Zamzam well, and then say, Allah, you've given me the opportunity to be Allahu Akbar, and then going to those same places where the Holy Prophet passed by, and then go to Safa, Marwa, Sa'i. And this was the design, the passion of the pious predecessors. I saw Hazrat Sahib in his life, he had one desire. That I was reading a letter this morning and I was smiling and I had so much love. That what a great person was my Shaykh. And Hazrat said, Faruqi Sahib, that today has been some days I have come here from Makkah, and it's 1 month I have passed, subhanAllah, of Ramadan. 1 month I have passed to come here, and now I've prepared for Ramadan, for Hajj, and I'm about to go for Hajj, subhanAllah. And if you get a chance, then you can come as well. So Hazrat hasn't even arrived, and he's prepared for the next journey. This is the reality. This was his passion and desire. Then what will the angels do, subhanAllah? With such a person, they will put the Kaaba in front of him, and he will do tawaf. And Rawda Mubarak will come to the person in front of him, recite Salatu Wassalam. The answer will come now. This discussion will get long. Hazrat Sheikhs, my Sheikhs, events, I will tell you what were the Mamulat with him. He had such great connection with Allah and his Rasul, and his special Khadim told me these things. The Khadim from Medina Tumar has a Sheikh. I'm speaking about my Sheikh. SubhanAllah. So he stated, what do the angels do at the time of death of a mu'min? They show him good things. And he is then attracted. If a person sees the Rawda Mubarak, his hands are raised, he's doing dua, he's reciting Salatu Wasalam, he's from Nawari. So he's immersed in that sight, in that vision, and they quietly and quickly extract his ruh. So Allah Ta'ala distracts the attention of the mu'min at that time of death with those sights and visions and actions that he loved during his life. He's distracted and the angels extract his ruh. SubhanAllah. He didn't even realize. SubhanAllah. As soon as the life of a person passes away and he's transferred to the hereafter, then he is detached from this world and his link with this world ends. And then the reality comes of the hereafter, which is within his sights. Say SubhanAllah. So keep on saying SubhanAllah so you get the enjoyment. So what is that reality? That what happens in life in the world? That for example, he had just clothes and attire on top of his body, but inside is the ruh, the soul. And the ruh, the soul, has a desire that I want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And this becomes the passion, the desire. While a person does dhikr, dhikr, when you're doing dhikr daily, regularly, then you'll see, say that, let me see what is the consequence of the dhikr I did, isn't it? For example, you're busy, somebody's praising you, that he's so beautiful and beloved and handsome, his eyes are like this, the hair's like this, the zulf are like this. Well, you hear, a sketch comes in your mind, a desire, passion, that, yaar, I want to see this person, how can I see him? For example, he goes, where's he gone suddenly? I want to see this person who's been praised. And this is the hal of those people who are consumed in the dhikr of Allah, immersed in the dhikr of Allah. They kept on kissing the pages of the Quran and recitation and love for the Quran, sujood, prostration, and their foreheads are the marks of prostration. They wore out their foreheads and their backs became bent. And because of their bowing and prostrating, Allahu Akbar, and their tongues were moist with dhikr of Allah, and they had passion and desire. Who are those people? They have so much desire. Who is Allah? What is Allah's husn and jamal? Allah's greatness. In the hadith, it stated, SubhanAllah, that Allah give us that ishtiyaq at the time of death, give us that the capability that we can see Allah, so that our desire to see Allah increases and increases and increases. Say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So the mu'min, when he passes away, he is consumed and immersed in the passion of the hereafter. And then the ruh, it turns to the hereafter, and he looks to the asal love, the real love. In other words, the worldly love disappears at a time. Then he's focused on the real love of the hereafter. Then he says, take me to my Rabb, take me to Allah, take me to my Lord, take me to my Creator. At the time of death, he's yearning to leave the world. He shrieks out, ooh, the jinnat. Except for the jinn, except for everything in the universe, except the jinn and the human beings, everything in the world is this diwana, this man who's in love with hereafter, and he's yearning and desperate to see Allah. SubhanAllah, the ashik, the love of Allah, has departed from the world. And everything in the world is detached from the person. Everything in the world apart from man and jinn. They say, look at his death, a beautiful death. He says, take me to Allah. Don't delay. Hasten. Take me to my Rabb, to my Creator. Take me to my Lord, the true Lord. And with all the attributes and characteristics, he's remembering Allah. And he's feeling at that time, he's prepared for death. And then when he's laid down on the bed, the rope bed, which was in our homes, back home in our countries, in our subcontinents. Nowadays, there's the coffin, isn't it? Nowadays, we have boxes, because we're worthy of a box, aren't we? Because we don't know. Maybe that's why coffins are made with lids. Because maybe on the bed, the rope bed will lie down, and then we'll jump off it after that. Say, oh, no, I want to go back to the shop. So Allah says, make a coffin, a box, and put a padlock on top so he can't run away back to the dunya. Even if you want to take him to Pakistan, or wherever you want to bury him, but the coffin, the lid will stay sealed, and he won't be able to come out. Just an example of our love for the dunya. Anyway, my brothers, So when a person dies, then he is led towards the grave and he shouts out, "What are you doing? Quickly hasten to my grave, hasten to my grave." To this extent, he is so much yearning to be buried. May not be that he jumps out of the coffin, he runs towards the grave to be buried. This is the life, the death of a mu'min who's yearning to be buried, to meet Allah. Allama Suyuti rahmatullah stated, when a person passes through this feeling and he is totally focused on the hereafter, and the people of the world are walking with his body to bury him, and his grave is dug out, and they lower him into the grave, and they put the soil back on top. But he's left this world as soon as he's buried, and then the angels come to the grave, sit him up. It's not a grave darkness. It's got carpet, lush, nice, decorated with nice, beautiful fragrance of misk and different beautiful fragrances. Well, they say, the angels come to him and say, "Sit him up, sit him up." Sit on, he sits up, and then he's feeling more desire and hunger. Then the Allah Ta'ala says, "Open the doors to paradise. This person, he followed the path of haq. He will realize the promises Allah made." Wa'dallahi haqq, Allah says, the promise of Allah is haq, truth. Allah Ta'ala's promises, they definitely take place and are implemented. Allahu Akbar, Allah says that a person whose promise can be greater and better than Allah Ta'ala's promise. No one's promise. The time of death has come, he's buried, then he sat up in the grave. Then Allah says, "Remove the veils and open up the windows to give him the fragrance and vision of Jannah." When the veils are removed and drawn back, then the whole sketch of that qabr, the scene of that qabr is changed. That Jannah is put in front of that person. That Jannah that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and Allah has promised that Jannah is placed in front of it. يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. Jannah, paradise, Allah Ta'ala has promised abadan, forever and forevermore. And the palaces, the hoors and the things, everything's placed in front. He says, "Huh? What's this? This is your palace. This is your home. This is your place of staying. This is your house. Here you will live. Here you will eat. Here you will drink." Allahu Akbar, Allah promises. Imagine the scenes and the sights. This is the true objective of life. So while he's saying this, so he's already got the desire and the hunger. He says, "Allah, why are you stopping? Why are you stopping? Oh angels, quickly, quickly, let's go. Let's go to the next phase of this journey. Why have you seated me in the grave? Let me go further and attain what I need to attain so I can receive my gifts. Why have you seated me in the grave and take me further?" And the angels say, "Wait, bye. Sabr, patience, you're in a rush. Why are you in a rush again? Have some sabr, have some patience. Don't be in a rush. That do everything with sabr, be patient." The angels say, "Oh, he wants to go fast. Let's stop him. Let's put the brakes on. Let's give him the injection, the sleep injection, so he feels a bit of sleepiness. Otherwise, he will want to run fast towards the hereafter." Subhanallah. Anyway, so in the hadith it stated, the Hazrat Abu Rayra radiallahu anhu narrated this, "I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life, that sleepiness or drowsiness, such an injection is given to that person, that mu'min, such a beautiful slumber and sweet sleep overcomes that mu'min, that sleepiness and drowsiness and peace in such a direction, that time his eyes will open on the day of judgment." Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Glory to Allah. And he will snore, he'll be tired from the dunya, he'll have departed the dunya praying tahajjud and ibadah, and how much tired he'll be, and he'll be snoring, just like, you know, in dhikr you hear people doing snoring, they're tired, they come back from work, they leave home in the morning, 3 a.m, we drag them and call them, they have to come and sit in dhikr, then he starts snoring loudly, that will be the death of the qabr. Person will, and the person next to him, the person who's dead in the grave next door, he'll say, "Oh, he looks quite tired, this person who's new to the grave." So then he sleeps a nice sleep, until that time his eyes will open at the time of Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah will come, and after opening the eyes, no bad scene will come in front of that mu'min after his eyes open, but the amal, the deeds that he performed in the world, the thawab will be presented to him, the rewards will come to him. Subhanallah. And whose mouth is this, whose death is this, my brothers? The mu'min. I can't hear you loudly. The mu'min, the true believer. Are we mu'mineen? Are we? Let's think. Let's answer the question. We should speak the truth at some stage. We should speak honestly at some stage that what is the praise, the definition of a mu'min? Allah Ta'ala praises and defines. Okay, no problem. Okay, we're stuck in this world. If we are not mu'mins, then at least let's become mu'mins. Let's become mu'mins. Everything that's been explained in hadith for this reason, that in this dunya we are living. Yes, this dunya is a place of deception. Yes, delusion. We are stuck in this dunya. We are trapped. But Allah Ta'ala has given us 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, made us old, 90 years. Not for this reason, that we make more dunya and more dunya and put foundation on faces and get more marriages and make more houses and count our grandchildren one by one and keep on getting married, 2, 3, one in Pakistan, 2 here, 3 somewhere else, have houses here, everywhere. We don't look after our house, our home, our children, our wife or mother, father. Dunya, dunya, dunya. Is this why Allah Ta'ala has given us life? Tell me. And this whole life that Allah Ta'ala has given to me and you, 70 years, 80 years, only for this work and action and deed for us to prepare for the hereafter. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That's it. That's it. And whoever has prepared for that moment of death, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah said in the Quran that most successful will be that person that when the time of hijrat, migration will come at the time of death, and at that time he has this feeling, he has this condition, he has this scenario, and this is how that person dies. Then this is the individual who prepared rightfully, correctly for death. And that moment of death, that time of death, that maut, that hijrat, migration cannot occur without preparation. This is not a drama, brothers. This is not a drama. This is delusion, deception we are going through. These small points, we cannot purchase success at those times. People have given their whole lives, Hazrat Bilal, Hazrat Khabbab, and ask those Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum for the sake of Allah, ask those individuals, the Sahaba Ikram, Tabin, Tabatabin, the pious predecessors, the pious sheikhs, ask the Salihin, the Abidin, their lives, how did they pass their lives? At that time, they prepared their life for that time. Allah, give me the death of the mu'min, subhanAllah. And this is the preparation we need to make. And this is the Quran that tells us this. This is our life. This is our objective of life. This is the ibadah, our worship. Everything, whatever there is for us, everything hinges on the successful transfer of life from this world to the hereafter. Whatever we're doing should be preparing for that time of death. So brothers, are we preparing? Let's look inside ourselves from morning until now. How much have I prepared for the hereafter? Is it the preparation of the mu'min? Has my salah been like the salah of a mu'min? Did I wake up as a mu'min in my home, my ma'mulat, my condition of my home? Is it like a mu'min? Speak honestly with iman, with truth, with honesty. We're not that bad as hypocrites, are we? Who are we trying to deceive? I've explained and discussed about the qabr, what's about to come. Says, look, one moment today, maybe this night, tonight is our final night. So tell me, at this moment in time, what do I have as a guarantee that my death will be successful, that my migration to the hereafter will be successful? Have I got a guarantee? Can I say it with 100% conviction that I will succeed? What is there in my life that is deserving of a mu'min's life? A mu'min, a true believer, is a person who's inside him, there's no nifaq, no hypocrisy, no two-faced life. Mu'min says, وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا, I believe in Allah, وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ. No la in his life, no shirk. No ascribing partners to Allah. He should not have the idols of the nafs inside his body. He should not prostrate to anyone else. He's prostrating in the masjid. But our prostration is going where? We know that our sujood, who are prostrating to, who are we remembering, etc. Yes. So we need to prepare. The Quran has defined the preparation of death for mu'min. Yes, so if we're not following the right tracks, if we're not implementing that guidance and advice of the Quran of how to prepare for death, so what is the prescription of the Quran with regards to preparation for death? We don't know, then how will we prepare? How will we prepare? Tell me. So a small verse I would like to present in our service, that shaitan, what does he do? وَمَن يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala has given us this sketch here. Allah says that if you want to die the death of a mu'min, then for preparation for death, do one action, Allah Ta'ala says. Do one action that you'll have to, must do, and you'll become a mu'min. What is that? Do you understand, Mawlana? Yes. You'll have to do this action, me and you, all of us. وَمَن يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala said clearly in the Quran, وَلِيَّمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, cannot have two opposite things. Allah Ta'ala says, either keep me as a friend or keep shaitan as the friend. Allah says, not both together, combined. وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ, because shaitan's friendship is opposite and clashes with the friendship of Allah. And shaitan's friendship, Allahu Akbar, فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. If we take the friendship of shaitan, then remember Allah says in this verse, but all who take shaitan rather than Allah for their master do indeed most clearly lose all. And if we take Allah as our friends, وَعْدَاللَّهِ حَقَّى, Allah's promises are the best and honest, and we'll get the gifts and the rewards at the time of death. Like I mentioned in the hadith, so it's our choice and selection. Whose friendship do we want? Allah or shaitan? Allah said clearly in this verse, shaitan's friendship. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, his promises, illa ghurura. His promises are false, deception, fraud, darkness, evil, lying, deception, delusion. Allah's promises are honest, truth, haq, will come to reality. Udkhulul jannata tajri min tahtil anharu khalidina fiha abada. Allah says, this is my servant and I'll show you this true and successful death. And this is what we call the mu'min who follows this principle of life. The mu'min, the shan, the glory, the status of a mu'min is that not for a second does he take the friendship, the hand of friendship of shaitan. Shaitan will take your iman. Not for a second does a mu'min take the friendship of shaitan. What? Oh, I don't take shaitan as a friend. Let me tell you, what is the sign of the friend of shaitan? Those who implement the duties of shaitan, because if you have a friend, a good friend, then he will be similar to you in your actions and your traits. Shaitan's friends will never pray salah. Sometimes they'll pray, sometimes they'll leave salah. Shaitan's friends will do actions of immodesty, immodest women, immodest men. Shaitan's friends, inside their homes, they'll have immodesty. Shaitan's friends, immodesty upon immodesty. Shaitan will take people to this, won't he? So, at that time, whenever an individual carries out, implements an immodest action in isolation, lonely, with friends, sitting down, doing haram, lying, consuming interest, sood, riba, even if it's an atom's weight of a sin, atoms weight of a second, split second. If a person is doing a sin, then he is the friend of who? Shaitan. This is the decision of Quran. And if the Quran says that person, if he's friend of Shaitan, then he cannot be the friend of Rahman Allah. He's totally a Shaitan at that time. Yes, and Shaitan says, my friends, always he spreads his influence and dirt amongst his friends. He advises, come, we'll eat together, we'll drink tea together, we'll sit down together, we'll sleep together, we'll rest together. Every moment and second, Shaitan is inviting us 24/7. He wants us to become his true and solid and permanent friends. We have dropped so much that Shaitan has come inside us. He says, I want to make you my friend. And this is the challenge and test for a mu'min. Such a great point Allah has mentioned to us. He's explained to us, subhanallah, that what will spoil your akhirah, what will not allow you to become a mu'min? Shaitan's friendship. And if you save yourself from Shaitan, then you become a mu'min. And these two opposites can never meet or combine. So what's our duty in life? My friends, what is our duty is to prepare for death, and to prepare for a successful death, we have to save ourselves from Shaitan, disconnect ourselves from Shaitan. Say it loudly, we have to disconnect ourselves from Shaitan, and that's it. That's our duty and job and in this world. Clear. The asil mu'min will be him who all his life, that Allah has given 70 years, 80 years, what will he do? My friends, what will he do, the mu'min? That he will be saved from Shaitan's shackles. I need to be saved from the trap, the net of Shaitan. Soon as he wakes up, he says, Ta'awuz Allah, save me from Shaitan. Save me from Allah, save me from Shaitan. I want to be saved from the shackle, the trap and the ditch and the cunning tricks of Shaitan. Allah says that I've given strength to qabr, adubu mubina. He will not leave you until the grave. But Allah says you need to be saved from Shaitan. Protect yourself from Shaitan. Whoever protects himself from Shaitan becomes Allah's, becomes mine, says Allah. Becomes mine. He's become mine. He's become mine. Ya Allah, you've given so much strength to Shaitan. So how do we save ourselves, protect ourselves from the strength of Shaitan? We ask ourselves to Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, the Quran has told us, prescription, that to be saved from Shaitan, there's no tariqah, no method that he has the tools that he can attack with apart from one action. Ala bi dhikrillah, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala stated, Wahid, there's one tool that can stave off Shaitan. If you want to be safe from Shaitan, Allah says, remember me in abundance. In abundance. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Ramdari, wrote a beautiful hadith that Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, who was wandering in Baghdad at the time, and he was a sahib of Kashfi, had the vision, and he saw a naked man. And he said, in this city of the respectful people, he went up to him, who are you? Walking naked. He said, have you not recognized me, Hazrat? He said, who are you? He said, Shaitan, I'm Shaitan. And he said, you should be ashamed of yourself, you rude person. He was the wali of Allah, that there are respectful men and women here walking around in the marketplace and you are naked here. You're not ashamed. And he laughed back, Shaitan, to the Hazrat, apart from you, I can see no other human being around here. These are all my friends, my colleagues and comrades. These are my true friends. And you're saying that these are insan, human beings. These are my solid friends. How can they be your friends? Said Hazrat Junaid, rahmatullahi. He said, have you not read the Quran? That Allah has mentioned in the Quran that the people are my friends, they will be like me. These are all my friends and they are true friends. I mean, why should I be ashamed of them? I stay naked in front of them and I make them naked as well, immodest as well. Ha, Hazrat. But if you want to see your friends and the friends who are of Allah, who are opposite to me, if you want to see the true friends of Allah, who are not my friends, who are my enemies, said Shaitan, those who have made me like a kebab, they've burnt me, they've melted me. They have melted me. Then go to that masjid, to in such a city, and look in there, and there's a jamaat, a group of people sitting. Go and see them. And what is the action they'll be carrying out? They'll be doing the dhikr of Allah so much that they have destroyed me, says shaitan. They've destroyed me, subhanAllah. Shaitan has told us himself what leads to his destruction. So my brothers, it's a clear, simple message of today. Allah Ta'ala has told us clearly, very simply, that if you want to be protected from shaitan, saved from shaitan, wahid, one action, what do we have to take hold of? Dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah. And because shaitan always is running after us, then every moment we'll have to do the dhikr of Allah. Every second we'll have to do the dhikr of Allah whilst we're living. And whenever we are negligent and lazy from dhikr of Allah, then Allah says, as soon as a person detaches himself from dhikr of Allah, leaves dhikr, stop doing dhikr, then shaitan comes back to that person straight away to influence him, overwhelm him. Big point. So there's wahid, one method of protecting ourselves from shaitan, those who do qalbi dhikr, who remember Allah in their hearts, and they practice and they make their heart accustomed to and used to doing dhikr of Allah in their heart. And even if you're not paying attention to the heart, but your heart starts like a machine, it says Allah, 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 subhanallah. These are those people, mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala has praised them in the Quran that their death comes like this in a good way. And if you see their lives, they are immersed in the dhikr. Well, Hazrat Zakariya Sahib, Hazrat Hashiq al-Hadith, Hazrat Zakariya Sahib Ramdurai spoke about dhikr. Someone said about his final moments that somebody shared the information that as soon as Fajr would come, the time, whichever masjid he would sit in, he would, subhanAllah, would do such a great dhikr in jamaat that the whole masjid would shake with the dhikr. Well, is this not written, recorded? Yes. And you will have noticed this and read this. And all the Aqabreen, our pious predecessors, how they did dhikr of Allah, how they remembered Allah, subhanAllah. So many events in their lives about dhikr of Allah. That one common quality, what was that? They did the dhikr of Allah. And when they departed the world, this was the message they said, they never leave the dhikr of Allah. As a Shaykh Rahmatullah, his final message to his colleagues was that continue doing dhikr in high abundance. We are going far from dhikr. Don't leave the dhikr of Allah. SubhanAllah. So my brothers, my colleagues, all of these words we've discussed today, I've discussed this for myself, for you, for our benefit. Time, Allah has given us a portion time for preparation. We should use that time, whatever we've wasted. Let's grab hold of the dhikr of Allah. We should understand this death, time of death that will come. Let's do dua to Allah. Allah give us the death of the mu'min. The death of a mu'min. Ameen. And shaitan's friendship, let's leave that and let's make the friendship with all of my brothers. Do dhikr of Allah in abundance. Regularly, those who've learned dhikr, don't make this a game. Don't make it a habit or a tradition. Don't play with it. Those brothers who've not learned dhikr, I invite again to those individuals. I invite again that come learn qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. Come learn qalbi dhikr. My Hazrat sent me from my home country and I spoke about that great dhakir, my Sheikh, and he instructed me, go to such a place in the whole of Europe, do tabligh and propagate this action of what? That make people's hearts enlightened with the dhikr of Allah. This was Hazrat's instruction. Otherwise nobody beat me, no scooping beat me. I would be seated at home and do my dhikr as well with ease. Why should I go around from this masjid to that masjid through the streets and calling out, inviting? Because I was given a duty that you need to call people to the dhikr of Allah. And this is what we're doing, my brothers. Those are the fortunate people who have learned the dhikr of Allah. Those are the fortunate people. Don't we think ourselves that Allah Ta'ala, who is there to stop us from doing dhikr? The enemy of Allah, shaitan, he knows that if we learn dhikr, then my customer will scarper. He'll disappear. Wallahi, people are pious predecessors who had kashf, that when they said that when we learn the dhikr of Allah, this is also in hadith, that as soon as a person learns dhikr from a teacher, then in the road, shaitan is throwing dust and soil over him, that my customer is lost, my customer is lost. He's scarpered and my customer has been gone to Allah. I'm not capable of influencing him now. Now, I've lost a big solid customer. Today, I used to make him pray salah, and in the morning, in the night, I'd bring him back to me, then I'd make him do modest actions. Does this happen or not, my brothers? Does this happen or not? Don't take what I'm saying badly. We pray salah, go to tabligh, we do chilla, and after that, straight away, tuck, we run back to the sin. We take that device out of our pocket, we look left and right, we don't see anyone saying, we want to see something else comes out. And ultimately, our end is very bad and dark and dirty. Where's our salah gone? Our Quran, where's our dhikr, our chilla and six fast, etc. Everything disappears in one day. But those who do dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, that person whose heart is desperate for dhikr, shaitan cannot attack that person. And people say regularly, how can I do dhikr? I can't leave the sins. And there's a method for that. Who makes a sin? Who makes us commit sins? Shaitan. So let's grab hold of shaitan. Protect ourselves from shaitan. Have we not heard the hadith that shaitan, the method to save yourself from shaitan, Allah's Nabi has taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that time when a person sits in the dhikr of Allah, joins the gathering of dhikr wala, then shaitan has run after that person, then he becomes silent. Because when he starts to do dhikr wala, then he has locked himself in a fort, in a castle, the dhakir. And he's locked himself in such a solid and secure fort and castle, shaitan cannot go in there. He cannot show him a phone, mobile phone screen, or naked pictures. He cannot show him immodest sights, because Allah Ta'ala has sealed that person, surrounded him with mercy. So if we're doing dhikr, and after dhikr we're committing sins, then our dhikr is weak. Then carry on doing dhikr in abundance. Make your heart more accustomed and focused on dhikr. You're sitting for 30 minutes, then sit for 2 hours. So dhikr comes into the heart securely, solidly, and it descends. So the first action we need to do is learn the dhikr of Allah. This servant is present. Alhamdulillah, will teach you dhikr. Then it's your job to work hard and see how you get benefit from this, and how much a person's iman is strengthened. If we want to do this, if we want to do this, a person from the heart sincerely should have a desire that Allah, I want to die as a mu'min, as a believer, then with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's blessings and mercies, and all the badness will come out, and riba and sood and unlawful actions will start to come out of the life of that person. If they're not coming out, do more struggle, strive more effort, more dhikr. This is the method. If you go to the doctor, he'll give you 100 milligrams, take this antibiotic. If you're not cured, 250 milligrams per thousand, then he'll make it 500. If that's not good enough, then he'll start weighing that this many grams, give this many grams, and it will increase. And then the antibiotic, it comes through strong. So we are so dirty, impure, dirty patients, that a little bit of dhikr will not succeed. 5-6 tasbih, half an hour, 30 minutes, 14 minutes, 15 minutes. What we need to do is dhikr kathiran kathira, high abundance. And every moment, tasbih, Allah, 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 Allah. We should remember Allah. Yes, but we can't even sit down 5 minutes for dhikr. And I'm saying again, the Quran says that life is a deception. It's a deception, a delusion. We cannot be protected from shaitan unless we do dhikr of Allah. We cannot practice the sunnah. We cannot adorn our heads with imamah. Whilst people wear imamah, they take them off. Why? What makes them do this? Shaitan. And we keep beard, then we trim it, we cut it, we shave it. Shaitan makes us do this. Shaitan repeatedly, then it'll make us go towards drugs and zina and running after women. Who makes us do this? Shaitan. Shaitan's released, and he'll play with us. And you'll see, he says, no, you're totally fine, you're pious, you've done ibadah. Then a few days, again back to the sin, again back to alcohol, and this is the life of a dog and the death of a dog. And this is the contrast to the life of my brothers. Will we do dhikr? Will we remember? Will you learn dhikr? That's it. Those who don't learn dhikr, then consider, even until now, that person is a murid, a student of shaitan. What's the pain in learning dhikr? I don't understand. There's no loss. What's the reason that we don't learn dhikr? There has to be a reason. Yes, either we give a reason, I'm not learning Allah's dhikr for this reason. But straight away, consider shaitan. As I've said, shaitan, the friend of shaitan, his sign is that he will make you do his actions. And he won't make you do those actions that give him pain. He will never make you do this. He will make you do his actions, his duties that he likes. He'll make you such a solid friend that he won't want to leave you, that you leave his work or you leave his duties. He'll say, wait, stop. I know your death is about to come. I want to keep you as a munafiq until death. I don't want you to depart as a mu'min, says shaitan. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.